Basketball fans of a certain age will recognize these names from the late 90s through the mid-2000s, and when mixtapes were big. Famous streetballers with names like The Pharmacist and Hot Sauce were filmed playing on blacktops and in gyms around the world. Highlights of their alley-oop dunks, slick dribble moves, and no-look passes were mixed to music, broadcast on ESPN, and sold as VHS tapes and eventually DVDs.
Rebound comes down. It's almost stolen away, and it is stolen away. This is sick. Win it! Get it! No relation!
But within a few years, it was all over. Reporter Olivia Christian brings us the story of how this all began and how its legacy carries on today.
DJ Set Free, or Set as he's commonly known, first found hip-hop when he was about 10. He remembers sitting on a sidewalk in Queens, listening to Eric B. and Rakim.
Man, I was like, yo, this is cool. And like, the way he was rapping over a beat and like kind of telling a story and telling where he was from.
I ain't no joke. I used to let the mic smoke. Now I slam it when I'm gonna make sure it's broke. When I'm going,
it was like learning in a different way about a person in a place over a beat.
As a child, Set split his time between New York and Philly.
I remember in Philadelphia was like one of the, like, it's a spot called The Now. It was like a swim club, and you had the generator hooked up to the turntables and the big speakers. You just see people in their cars, pulling over, jumping out of cars, running to celebrate music, just to, you know, dance and have fun. And you got girls jumping rope, and now they're jumping rope to the beat. You got the family cooking out on the grill, and then like you see the family dancing to it. Then you see the same DJs pulling up to the basketball court. Now they're on the court, the guys are dancing on the court to the music.
Back in New York, Set was DJing house parties, perfecting his craft, when he was hired to work in the marketing department at And One, a shoe and apparel company for players and fans of basketball. The company got its name from the game itself.
Catch and shoot, oh, And One! Oh, fouled, And One, a four-point play! Count it, And One!
And that brings us to late 1998.
I was at work. I was working at And One, and a guy who was head of marketing named Jeffrey Smith told me, come in my office, I want to show you something. Pulled me in the office and showed me just VHS tapes of basketball footage.
What Set saw was grainy footage of streetballers, basketball players, that ruled their neighborhood blacktops. These players had swag. Their dunks, their stutter steps, their ankle-breaking crossovers had crowds roaring.
I came back to work the next day, and I said, Jeff, can I take these tapes home? And he said, yeah, you can take them for what? I said, I don't know, I just want to take them home, watch them, chill out, watch tapes.
Set had a TV hanging above his turntables. He often watched movies with the sound down while he DJed. But this time, he put on one of those VHS tapes.
And I'll never forget that, like, the kick drum matched up to a dunk. And the snare matched up to a jump shot. And I said, wow. And now I was just practicing matching the beat to the basketball. And that moment I said, I got something special. I didn't even go to bed probably till like 4 o'clock. And I was so excited to go back into work. And I went back into work and I just remember telling Jeffrey Smith, I said, you gotta put me in the studio. And that's like how the creation happened.
And One sent Set down to Florida to a studio. He synchronized beats, layered tracks, and tried to develop this into a legit mixtape. Then he jumped into the recording booth and started calling out song titles and artist names.
We had one song combined to video footage, and we mailed out copies, FedExed them to rappers' houses. And I said, hey, I'm gonna send you this FedEx tomorrow. And then I'm gonna call you, and I want you to describe what you see. And I remember like calling Common, and he was like, man, And One mixtapes are incredible. This is crazy. And I remember calling Sway.
Hey, yo, check this out. This is Sway from the world famous Wake Up Show with King Tech and DJ Revolution. And y'all about to do
Yo, man, come on now. What could be better than this thing right here? And One, okay.
So if people were really giving it honest feedback and honest thoughts of what they thought about it. And that's when I knew, I was like, now it feels like a mixtape.
The mixtapes were sent off to representatives at the hip-hop record labels Tommy Boy and Ruckus Records.
And the Street Teams, which was big back in the late 90s, they took the VHS tapes to all the clubs, they took them to all the basketball courts, they took them to studios. You know, everybody was doing mixtapes on cassette or CD, and I just made a strong left turn and made a VHS mixtape. So it was overwhelming, from athletes, street ballers, DJs, record labels, record companies, and then just the fans of music, fans of sports, to say, yo, this was something the illest I ever seen. It was just a great fulfillment.
Over the next several months, copies started showing up everywhere. Those tapes were sometimes called the Skip Tapes. They featured Rafer Skip to My Lou Alston, who went on to play 11 seasons in the NBA. They also featured Wally Dixon.
Main Event.
Shane Wooney.
Shane the Dribbling Machine.
Anthony Hayward.
Half Man, Half Amazing.
Malloy Naismith.
Future.
And Crafton Ferguson.
Aircraft.
These street ballers were known around their neighborhood as having game, commanding crowds that were drawn in by their style of play and their on-court personalities. Now, they were getting calls from across the country, but they hadn't been compensated for their first appearance, so Set wanted to make things right.
We was the Sonic Tapes, but now we're showing these people likeness, and we was benefiting as a brand off the momentum. So it was like we had to go back and find these players and figure out what we could do and how we could work with them.
These guys, playing for the love of the sport, were now jumping into a whole new game, unplanned and unprepared for where it would take them. Eventually, they agreed to start throwing events, first in New Jersey. From there, the tour expanded to Philly, New York, Atlanta, L.A., and Chicago.
It was just an aha moment in sports and culture where it was like, hey, you can be here just playing ball, or you can go all around the world, play basketball, get paid, get clothes, and I don't think it was anything to turn down.
The N1 mixtapes took off, and so did the up-and-coming hip-hop artists who supplied the soundtrack. The tour was a showcase for the brand's biggest stars and an opportunity for street ballers to have their artistry documented and shown to audiences around the world.
They were just all stars in their own realm, you know, being from the hood, of the hood, with the hood, still playing in the hood. And, you know, then it started turning around where the NBA players seen the mixtapes and was like, we seen some of the greatness you did out there on that court. So they started gaining fans from the hardwood.
Up until the late 90s, the NBA was a little buttoned up. Most shorts were still fitted and laid above the knee. Arms and necks weren't completely covered in tattoos. But that was changing, and big media brands started taking notice.
I remember watching the ESPN game, and the announcer was like, hey, they're out there doing that N1 stuff. They're doing that mixtape stuff.
Players like Rasheed Wallace, Allen Iverson, and Jason Williams were making a mark on the NBA. Their attitude, their swagger, was just different than the players that preceded them. The no-look passes and finger rolls from a generation ago sounded like jazz. But this new crop of players, they sounded different. With players coming up in the league that were born and raised in this culture, hip-hop became the new soundtrack of basketball. And with the culture becoming more and more mainstream, basketball became the soundtrack of hip-hop.
I think the N1 mixtape had an influence on the world. It was a magnifying glass for a lot of different cultures, to be sure.
Were you ever concerned about whether or not that culture would be exploited, taken advantage of, copied, watered down?
Everybody's not going to go in a mine to find a diamond. And what I mean by that is that brands and companies, they don't want to go to the part where nobody goes. You know, in the 90s, the playground shootings was at an all-time high. You know, nobody really wanted to go to the playground from corporate world. At nighttime, daytime. And we went somewhere where the people wasn't going. And that's where I felt like it could never be exploited.
And One stopped producing mixtapes in 2008. In the summer of 2018, 20 years after the release of the first mixtape, DJ Set Free opened the Compound Gallery in the South Bronx. It's a place where some of the biggest names in art, culture, hip-hop, and basketball gather. The influence of the mixtapes on the NBA, college hoops, streetballers, all of them, as well as art, music, and fashion, this collision of culture, it's evident. When you watch NBA All-Star Weekend and see who's lining those first three rows, you know it. And when Kevin Durant, Chris Rock, and Mos Def are all dropping by the compound to holler at Set, you know they know it too.
That's reporter Olivia Christian.